Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, or a heart of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Verse 10, put on the new man. Verse 12, put on mercy and kindness. Verse 14, put on love. Shortly before his death a few years ago, Cary Grant was being interviewed in a television biography kind of program. It caught my attention when the reporter asked Cary Grant, tell me, have you always been a suave, sophisticated person? And Cary Grant burst out chuckling. And then he shared a little bit of his story. Cary Grant, the quintessential romantic leading man, Mr. Sophistication, Mr. Smooth. He was born in 1904 in a rough section of Bristol, England. His name was not Cary Grant. His name was Archibald Leach. And he grew up in this rough and tumble section of Bristol, England, as a ruffian, as a hoodlum, with kind of a Cockney kind of accent. He was anything but suave, anything but sophisticated. He was a hood, really. But in his late teenage years, he was wondering how he could make an easy buck or two and thought, acting. If I can get into acting, there's some easy money in acting. So he went to the little local theater and began to pick up some bit parts, Archibald Leach did. And as he began to act out these parts, he conjured up in his mind the kind of person that he wished he was. A person of culture and sophistication. A romantic figure, a ladies' man. And he began to conjure up this image of what he wished he could be. And he began to act it out in the parts that he played on stage so convincingly that later on he would come to America and be known as the star of 70 films where he was the leading man, Mr. Sophistication, the romantic figure now known as Cary Grant. And that's why he chuckled and broke out laughing when the reporter said, tell me, have you always been so suave and sophisticated? But rather he chose to play a part, to put on an image. And he said this at the close of that little story that he told. I played the part so frequently that it became me, ultimately. Interesting. I played the part so frequently that it became me, ultimately. I put on this character, this image, so often that soon it became who I am, Cary Grant was saying. A put-on. A put-on that became him. Now, here in our text, in Colossians chapter 3, Paul says that you are to be a put-on. What do you mean? He says you are to put on the new man. You are to put on kindness and mercy and long-suffering. You are to put on love like an actor puts on a role, like a person puts on a coat. Most Christians say, hey, accept me the way I am. I'm grumpy before I have my morning coffee, and that's just the way it's going to be. But the Lord would say to us through our brother Paul, hey, we are not to keep the old man, the old tendencies with us. We're to put off the old and we're to put on the new. Interesting to me. Because as Christians, you've heard it too, just like I have. People say to us, you guys at church are a bunch of put-ons. And I have learned to say, you're right. It's true. That's what we do. We put on Jesus Christ, as Romans 13, verse 14 says that we're to do. We put on the image, the nature, the character, the personality of Jesus to the best of our ability. Well, they say, then you're play acting, you're a put on, you're a phony. No, listen, the fact of the matter is this. Every single person on the stage of life is acting some part, without exception. You might be acting the skater. Hey, check out these shoes. You might be acting the part of the jock. I'm macho. You might be acting the part of the entrepreneur, driving in your Lexus. Look at me. You might be acting the part of the glamour girl. Every person is choosing a part that they decided at some point, I want to play that part. And I'm going to get the right clothes and develop the right speech and play the part. But here's the problem. If every person is playing a part, the jock, the entrepreneur, the glamour person, whoever it might be, whatever part you choose to play, here's the fact of the matter. It will become you. But will you ultimately like it when the curtain comes down and the play is over? What do you mean? Ask Cary. Cary Grant. Archibald Leach. The man made millions. Sophisticated. Suave. A star. But how did his life end? Having gone through 5 wives, he finally became a closet homosexual. Going through such bouts of depression, he finally turned to alcohol and became an alcoholic. All the while of people thinking, hey, this guy has got it together. In reality, his life was a mess and empty. Look at your movie star. Look at your entrepreneur. Look at your jock. Look at your glamour girl. Look whoever you want to look at. And when the curtain comes down, the role that they played, will it be at the end of their life, successful, satisfying, not to mention their eternal destiny? Everybody is choosing a role. Everybody is a put-on. Everybody is deciding where and what and how they're going to be in this drama of life, you see. And man, if you're not careful, you'll make the wrong choice and you'll mess up like Cary. You'll mess up like me. Oh, man, I remember it like it was yesterday. Walking into the fellowship hall, I saw her across the way. I had noticed her for several weeks and finally got up the courage to fight through the crowd and go up and introduce myself to her. But you see, I realized as I wanted to meet her that there was a problem. You see, she was a senior. I was a junior. She was an older lady. She was 18. I was 17. So I thought, I'm going to have to approach her with maturity, sophistication. She's an older woman, you see. So I walked over to where she was, and I tried to deepen my voice a bit and get my suave look. Hello, I said. She looked at me rather quizzically, and I said, I'm John Corson. She said, oh, she said, I'm Stephanie. I said, yes, I know. It's nice to officially make your acquaintance, ma'am. And she scratched her head and said, oh, whatever. And I said, are you by any chance available for dinner this Saturday evening? She said, I guess so. I said, okay, may I have the pleasure of escorting you to dinner at 7 o'clock Saturday night? Okay. And so I walked away and said, delightful. And I walked away. This is sad but true. I walked away wanting to be suave. You see, she was an older lady, and so it was a role I felt I had to play. And I walked around the corner and said, yeah, oh, good. I was excited. You know, she said, okay. And Saturday came. I got up early in the morning, went out to where my car was parked by the side of our house, and began to wash my 1961 Ford Falcon, getting it ready for our big date. Now my 61 Ford Falcon was turquoise in color. And it went from 0 to 60 in about 2.5 hours. So I called it the turquoise turtle, you know. And I got this thing just all washed up, you know, and I waxed it out and vacuumed it, got it all set to go. And that took several hours. And then I went into the house and took my annual shower and brushed my tooth and then went over to the phone and called up the most classic restaurant that I had ever heard of there in the region. Never eaten there before, of course, but I had to impress her. You see, she was an older woman. And so I called up Mollio's there on the wharf at Santa Cruz and reserved a table for two by the window overlooking the water. And sure enough, I got reservations in, and then I went back into my room and pulled out what I thought would be impressive to this older lady. I pulled out my one suit, and I put on my gray-black suit, you see. Gray-black pants, gray-black coat, gray-black vest, white shirt, black tie. And I got this thing, you know, all set to go and put it on and looked pretty dapper, if I do say so myself. And then I got in my car and started up the turquoise turtle and drove across San Jose to where Stephanie was living and knocked on her door, and her dad opened the door. And I said, Mr. Demos? And he said, yeah. And I said, is your daughter ready for our date tonight? And he looked at me like I was Eddie Haskell. And he said, I'll see. Come on in. And so I went in. Hey, Steph, he called. And she came out and said, you look exquisite, Stephanie. I had to impress her, you see. She was an older lady. And I gave her my arm, and she sort of hung on. And we walked out the door, went around to where my turquoise turtle was parked. This is absolutely true. And I opened the door for her to get in. That's what a gentleman, a sophisticated man, would do. And as I opened the door fell off. It just fell off, right clunk, right down. So I borrowed from Mr. Demos a hammer and a bolt and kind of jammed it in there and slammed the door shut and got in the turtle and began to drive through Los Gatos up over Highway 17 to Santa Cruz, about 45 minutes away. We got there. It was a gorgeous day. And now evening was happening, and the sun was beginning to set a bit, and the sky was blue and the clouds were puffy. It was a gorgeous evening, you see, and we walked into Mollio's. The maitre d' greeted me, and he sat us down in the table that I had reserved there overlooking the water. And then the waiter came. While the waiter was coming, I said, Stephanie, whatever you want, go ahead and order. That was before I saw the menu. A big goof, guys. Never say that until you see the menu, because the menu came. I had never eaten there, and when I saw the menu, I was shocked and chagrined. I couldn't believe it, and true story, she looked down and went to the end of the menu and ordered the most expensive item, surf and turf, $17.95. I remember it perfectly. $17.95 for surf and turf. The problem was I had a $20 bill in my pocket. That's all I had to my name. This was a problema, you see. When she ordered that, the waiter then turned to me and said, sir, what do you wish? And I said, I'll take a shrimp cocktail. You know those little shrimp things in ketchup, you know? They're $1.50. They're appetizers usually. I said, just a shrimp cocktail is fine. And Stephanie looked at me and said, is that all you want?
And I said, truly, I lost my appetite. I wasn't hungry. I did. When I saw the menu, man, I lost all desire to eat, you see. So we sat there and she's eating her surf and turf and my mouth is salivating as I'm picking at these little shrimp in the ketchup deal, you see. We were sharing and I was trying to come up with stimulating intellectual conversation. She was an older lady. And then after we were done, it was a great dinner. Well, hers was. And after we were done, I said, well, Stephanie, would you like to stroll down the wharf? And she said, yeah, okay. So we went outside and began to walk down to the end of the wharf. Now, by this time, the sun had set. It was about 68, 70 degrees on an unusually warm, beautiful summer evening. And it was just that pinkish, bluish, purplish kind of sky, a few clouds that had now taken on sort of peach tones, and seagulls, you know, flying by. And the whole thing was gorgeous. And I really was impressed with this girl. I had liked her from a distance for a long time. And we came to the end of the wharf, and she stopped there at the end of the wharf and sort of just leaned against the railing like this, with her back slightly against the rail. And I liked her, and I wanted to show her. But guys, you know, how do you do that without coming across as too forward or being tacky or whatever? Well, this was great, because she's leaning there like this, you know, kind of leaning against the back rail. And I thought, great, I can come like this and just sort of put my hand on the railing. She's standing here, and if my hand is here, then it's not really around her, but kind of around her, which is open to interpretation. You can't lose, because you can't, you know, it's just kind of here, you know, and she's, so, you know, it's cool. So I thought, this is what I'll do, you know, kind of leave the interpretation up to her, you see. So she's leaning like this, and I'm there in my suit looking suave and dapper, and I lean over like this, and my hand slips. True story, my hand slips, and whoosh, my coat rubs against the railing, and she looks at me, and I look at my hand, and it was dripping. I had put my hand in a giant seagull mess. A huge, giant seagull mess. And it was running down my hand. And she's looking at me, this older woman, and I didn't know what to do, so I just kind of rubbed it in my suit coat, you know. That was the end of our relationship. You know, whenever we try to put on roles, the question will ultimately be, will it work? Or will we end up like me, with a bird mess on my hand? Or like Cary Grant, who played the role convincingly, but came up totally, completely empty. You are choosing the role that you are playing. Hard guy, cool dude, snowboarder, He-Man, whatever it might be, you're picking your role. The question is, where will it go ultimately? There is only one role that will ultimately satisfy any man, any person. What role is that? It is the role that we're invited to put on. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. You can just jot it down if you wish and look it up later. Paul the Apostle says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the role that you're to play. Not entrepreneur, not snowboarder, not intellectual, not anything else, but rather this is the role for you and for me, for all of humanity, to put on Jesus Christ. Now, here's the issue. I won't keep you long, but you're going to have to think with me through this incredibly important point. What does it mean to put on Jesus Christ? Well, in Colossians chapter 3, that we'll look at more fully on Wednesday night, you can see that these are characteristics of the Christian that are most clearly seen in the Christ, in Jesus. Long-suffering, kindness, mercy and love. These are all Him, you see. And I am to say the role that I'm going to play in life is going to be to imitate Jesus Christ. To totally think, what would He do in this situation? How would He act in this particular matter or circumstance with family, friends, at Bi-Mart, you see? I was at Bi-Mart. And I was tired. I had been going hard. It was a long, tough week for me. I was with one of my kids, and as oftentimes happens in our small little valley, whenever you go anywhere, you're stopped, you know, in the store, you're stopped for conversation, and sure enough, I was trying to blitz in, and a lady came to me with a broken heart and a problem that she was concerned about. And this child of mine is with me, this kid. And I'm talking to this lady, and I'm hearing her story, and then we spend some time interacting, and I pray for her and listen to her. And later on, this particular child insightfully asked me, "Dad, you're tired. You've been frustrated. Was that a put-on?" And I said, "Yep. It was a put-on. But not in the way that you think. You see, child," I said, using the child's name, "you see, all of true biblical Christianity is, in a sense, a put-on. It's a choice I make to put on Jesus Christ. What would Jesus do if He was tired and fatigued and a woman came up to Him with a problem? What would Jesus do? I know what He would do. Because in John chapter 4, Jesus was tired, wasn't He? He sat by a well. He was hungry. And a woman came up to Him that had been living, oh, you know the story, with a man having five husbands previously. And Jesus ministered to her and shared with her. He wasn't feeling up to it physically, perhaps. He was drained emotionally, no doubt. But Jesus chose, made a choice to share with her and listen to her. And so if I'm going to put on Christ, I've got to think, what would Jesus do in this situation? I choose to make Him my hero. Not Joe Montana. Not Michael Jordan. Not Donald Trump. Not the lady that turns the letters. No. Those are all role models that will ultimately end in a bird mess. The role model that ends in glory, both in this life and eternally, is Jesus Christ. And I choose to say, hey, I am putting on Jesus Christ. And here's the deal. As you choose to put on Christ, you will find, even as Cary Grant discovered in the wrong role that he chose, if you play the part consistently, it becomes you ultimately. You don't say, "Well, I'm going to be grouchy and crude and grumpy because that's just the way I am." God didn't save you to keep you the way you are. He saved you to change you. He saved me to change me. And He says, "Johnny, you've chosen now this role, this part. Now you put on Christ." What does that mean? Paul tells me, you put on love, you put on forgiveness, you put on kindness, you put on long-suffering, you put on mercy, you put on those characteristics of Jesus. You choose to put them on. People will say, "You're a put-on." We say, "Right on." Because I know that how I choose to act will become a part of my life ultimately. And I choose right now to refuse to be a grump or an irritated person or a man that holds a grudge. I choose to put that role away and I choose to take on the role of the nature of Jesus Christ. I choose to put it on, and as I put it on, it will eventually be worked in and become a part of who I am. It's an amazing thing. Now, kids, especially young people, because right now, perhaps more than anybody else, you guys are deciding who you're going to be. Role models are before you. Advertisers are yelling at you. People Magazine is trying to pull on you. People all around you are saying, be this and buy that and wear the other. And it gets very confusing when you hear these voices, these callings. Benjamin, my boy, last Saturday played his first soccer game. And he's, you know, playing baseball, as I've told you before, but the coach of the soccer team locally asked Benny if he'd come and join the team because they were kind of doing badly and needed some reinforcement a bit. So Ben jumped at the chance and he shows up at the game having never been to a practice before. So there he is, first game. Tammy is watching the game as Ben is out there. And Ben is ripping around the field, doing great 1 minute, and then just in totally the wrong place at the next moment. And then he does super again, and then he's just totally, you know, in the worst possible position. And this goes on, and then Tammy tuned in to what was going on. You see, on the other side of the field, the other team was positioned and the other coach. The other coach's key player was also named Benjamin. So here's Benjamin out there. And he hears his coach say, Benjamin, go forward. And Benjamin goes, and then he hears from the other side, Benjamin, get back. So he goes back and he's hearing these, and he doesn't know that he's just to listen to his coach. He thinks that everybody's there trying to help him out, you see. So he's running in circles. He's spinning around, you know, he's totally confused. And finally, Tammy realized what was happening. And during the first break, Ben, come here. Benny comes over. Whew, man, I got to run a lot out there. And Tammy said, honey, listen, when that coach talks to Benjamin, he's not talking to you. He's not? You don't have to listen to him. I don't? Oh, great, he said. And you know, what we do on this field that we play on, you know, we hear all these pulls, you know, wear this, be that, go here. And we're spinning around, wasting time and getting exhausted in the process. I'm telling you what the coach would say to me and to you today. Your role is singular. Be a Christian. Put on Christ. Forget everything else. If you want to be a skater, that's okay. If you want to go snowboarding, that's fine. If you want to pretend like you're a jock, that's whatever. But the fact of the matter is this. When you go around town, when you come into your home, when you do your business, don't be known as any of those things. Be known as a Christian. There's a Christian. There is one who has chosen a role to play, to put on Christ. So what do? As you go through the day, you think, what would Jesus do right here, right now? You're coming down from church, going down 238. My, you're late again. John's talked as long as ever. And you're going down and the traffic is horrendous. And there's a guy standing there in Jacksonville, waiting to cross the street to get to the bakery. And he stands there, takes a step and a step back and a step and a step back, because car after car after car, no way, man, I'm late. No way am I stopping. Put on Jesus Christ. What would Jesus do? Would Jesus run him down? And if you're convinced that Jesus would hit the accelerator, boom, you know, okay. But as I read the Bible, as I learn of Christ, I realize this. If Jesus was in the line of cars driving an auto through Jacksonville and some gentleman or some lady or some child was waiting to cross the street, he would stop his car and smile politely and wave. And that person would go their way saying, wow, hey, whoever that was that just came from church is living it. That's cool. Let he who has ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church today. What would Jesus do? You put on Christ.
That's who you are. You are not a businessman. You're a Christian. You're not a musician. You're a Christian. You might be in business. You might play guitar. But you're a believer man. That's who you are. That's the role that you've chosen. That's the part that you've been given. So you put it on. You wear it like a coat. You act it out like an actor and you say, that's who I'm going to be. When people look at me, they're going to say, Christian. More than anything else, Christian. A follower of Jesus. The word Christian means little Christ. There's a little Christ. An imitator of Christ. Little Jesus. That's what they should say about you and me. And that is the role that will satisfy you completely and reward you eternally. Now. Put on Christ. Put on kindness. Put on long-suffering. Put on mercy. Put on patience. Above all, put on love. You put it on. But I'll tell you this. You'll fail miserably if you simply try to put it on without putting Him in. Jesus said this. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. In other words, you can say, oh, I admire Jesus' kindness, His compassion, His ethic, so I'm going to try and imitate Him. Terrific if you have Him in your heart, but without Him, you don't have a chance. You'll fail over and over and over again, and you'll say, I'm going back to being a skater. This doesn't work. You see, you got to have Him in your heart. In this drama of life, when we put on this part, He is the director who is in my heart who will say, Johnny, stop your car. Let him cross. He's the director that will say, you can't talk to your son that way. You can't treat your wife so unkindly, Johnny. Not if you're going to play this part, you see. He's the one that whispers in our heart, brings scriptures to our mind. He's the one that is the prompter in the drama, you see. He's the enabler in our hearts, really. It's Christ in you, as we've been talking about the hope of glory. So, once you open up your heart to Christ, then you put on His part. He's in your heart, now put on His part. Put on these things. And you will find it is a role that is rewarding, a blessing, and it will do you well in this life and on into eternity. Other coaches will call to you saying, be this, do that, go there. And you know what? You'll run in circles until you finally say, the one thing that I am is a Christian, and I'm going to put on that part all the days of my life. That's who I am, a Christian. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I thank You this day that we don't have to be spinning our wheels and going in circles, wondering what role to play, where we fit in, and then to find like the stars of the world, that it doesn't work in the end. But You've called us into a life that's rich and rewarding eternally. And today, this morning, we give You thanks that You've allowed that to happen, that You've called us to be Christians. And we choose today now to take the exhortation of Paul and to put on Jesus Christ, Father, to put on these characteristics. We choose just to obey what You say, and by Your grace and with Your help to do like Your Son. I pray especially for the young men and young women who are deciding what they're going to be, who are deciding what is to be their identity. Father, May in a special way You grace these young people today to decide to be known as Christians, as followers of Jesus,
as lovers of the Lord. And may this be a day when young and old alike, we all put on your Son, Father, and His characteristics. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. In just a moment, I'm going to dismiss you to go your way and practice as you go down Jacksonville putting on Christ. But I must say this before you go. I'm going to ask no one leave unless it's an emergency, because this is a real important moment that we're going to be sharing here. If you have never asked Jesus into your heart, you're destined for frustration. You'll play your role, you'll play your part, and you'll end up a mess. I guarantee it, because God does. Like Donald Trump said a year and a half ago, "I am the world's most unhappy person," quote unquote. Made it to the top. Seems to have everything a person could wish materially. I'm unhappy. The world's most unhappy person, he said. Nothing else works. This is the one part that you've been given to be a Christian. If you're not, don't leave here without having Him really in your heart as your Lord and Savior, your hero, your role model, your everything. There's a prayer room right over there. And in the prayer room, there's pastors and elders that would love to pray a prayer with you to introduce you to Jesus Christ. He'll come into your life. You'll become one of us. And you can begin to put on Christ Jesus. And the fit will be perfect. "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden," Jesus says. "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke, take my part upon you. Learn of me, and you shall find rest in your soul. My burden is easy. My load is light." It fits. It works. And if you're not sure if you're born again, man, you are lucky. You are blessed, because today you have the opportunity to give Jesus a chance. We won't keep you long, but in the prayer room right over there, man, just in a few moments, a few minutes, to pray for you, give you a Bible and a tape, share with you that you can begin to listen to one coach all of your days and spend eternity at His side. Heaven, it's a good deal. So, God give you wisdom. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand today, to come forward right now. You're mature. You know if you need to change your role and begin to put on Christ, to put in Jesus.